Good morning, everyone. This is a big room. We're really empty still. We're hoping people trickle in, but we want to get started to make sure we get through everything. I'd like to welcome you to this morning's special session on strategies that public health departments across the country are doing to address health inequities. My name is Sandy Galvez, and I am the Executive Director of BARHI, the Bay Area Regional Health Inequities Initiative, which I'll be going into more in just a moment. Today's panel features presentations from a group of esteemed colleagues focusing on both internal strategies to build the institutional capacity of public health departments to address health inequities, as well as strategies focused on advancing policy solutions to the societal inequities that impact health outcomes. And while we would have liked to have had presentations that gave you a lot of detail about all the really important work that each local health jurisdiction is doing, we're going to instead provide you with some brief presentations and hopefully whet your appetite to get more information. Each of us has included contact information at the end of our presentations and are more than happy to discuss our work further with you. As far as the structure for the day, for the presentation, we'll have the brief presentations, and then we'll follow that up with about 20 minutes of questions and discussions. So please hold your questions till the end. Okay. So I have no relationships to disclose. So, beginning in the mid-1990s, the public health directors and health officials of several of San Francisco's public health departments gathered to determine whether the disparities in health outcomes among their communities would be better addressed by a regional approach. In reviewing the health outcomes of the communities throughout the Bay Area, it became clear that specific communities appeared to consistently experience health inequities based on societal determinants such as race, class, educational attainment, neighborhood conditions, and other characteristics. And issues such as transportation, housing, air and water quality are all addressed on a regional basis in the Bay Area, so it really made sense to have a regional collaborative. And because our public health programs were not designed to address social determinants, we decided that it was best to form a regional collaborative to determine ways that individual health departments could work on a regional level to improve community health. We formed officially in 2002 and have grown through the years, and now all 11 health departments of the San Francisco Bay Area listed here are part of BARHI. Our mission statement is to transform public health practice for the purpose of eliminating health inequities using a broad spectrum of approaches that create healthy communities. And I'll be going into some of those approaches. We decided early on that our focus was going to be on health inequities, and we were not going to be using the term health disparities. Health disparities is a term that's used mostly in the United States, and it points to the differences in health outcomes, but not to the reasons behind them. So this is an illustration of what health inequities look like in the Bay Area. I don't know if all of you have noticed the Health Happens Here campaign materials that are out and about the conference. That really shows that there's a difference just simply based on where people live in terms of how long children can expect to live. And we mapped this out for ourselves quite a bit ago. This is 2010 census data. And we show that there is a significant difference in life expectancy by racial groups as well as by poverty, with pretty much for every group, those living in most in areas that have the highest poverty rates can expect to live shorter lives. In some of our jurisdictions, the difference is as much as 14 years. On average, throughout the Bay Area, it's about a 10-year difference in life expectancy between those that live in poor neighborhoods versus those that live in higher-income neighborhoods. We also see similar inequities in educational outcomes as we do in life expectancy, with seeing much lower rates of high school graduation rates for those living in lower income neighborhoods. This graph also uses Census 2000 data. BARHI has recently begun to do work across all of our 11 health jurisdictions to introduce strategies to address the educational achievement gap into the work of our categorical programs such as public health nursing and WIC. We've picked the social determinant because we know that educational attainment is one of the biggest predictors of health outcomes. And by focusing our attention on where educational outcomes are most inequitable and where there are the fewest opportunities for success, we're also hoping to support communities in reducing health inequities. Early on in our work, Barhai developed a framework to guide how we were going to be looking at this work, and it's also used by all of our local health departments. This is a simplified version of our work where we recognize that most of our programs were doing work around the right side of the spectrum and addressing mortality, disease and injury, and as we moved upstream, risk behaviors and risk factors, mostly on an individual level. And so we really wanted to look at what was driving the choices for healthy behaviors that our communities had. And so we started to do a lot more work exploring the living conditions that impact the choices people can make, and then the institutions that make those decisions, and how social inequities around race, class, gender, immigration status, and sexual orientation can impact how those decisions get played out. This framework has been being used widely throughout the country, and it's been adopted by the California Department of Public Health. Barhai's approach is to identifying social justice as a core value of all of our work, building that it's really important that we build alliances with all the key institutions that influence the social determinants, and that we inform policymakers as well as the general public about the underlying causes of health inequities. And then primarily that we build the capacity of our workforce and our agencies. What we've seen from our members is that participating in Barhai has brought about an increased awareness about the differences between health inequities and health disparities. It's challenged our health departments to look at how they can move their work upstream. It's brought a health equity lens into the program planning that's happening in our health departments. And those health departments that are just beginning to think about health inequities are benefiting from the experience of the health departments within the collaborative that have been doing this work a lot longer. It's also helped us to collectively look at uncomfortable issues that are not within our traditional realm, such as the social determinants of health and other issues such as structural racism. And lastly, in terms of advocating and educating policymakers around the social determinants, having the voice of 11 health departments working together is a lot greater than just one. This is a very quick sample of some of the convenings that we have done. We brought together our staff that worked on food issues to really look at how to move their work upstream and look at how we could develop a regional approach. We've come together to have trainings on how to advance social justice conversations in our health departments. We were able to bring Dr. Kamara Jones to come and meet with us and help us explore racism's role in health outcomes. We've also had several convenings where we brought together first planning directors and then several years later the redevelopment agency directors of our areas to see how we could work together. And then just most recently we brought together our categorical program staff that I just mentioned around looking at how we could collectively work on closing the educational achievement gap. So Barhai has part of our work has been on focusing on these upstream issues and working with policymakers. But another part of our work, as I said, is focusing on building the capacity of our health departments as well as public health practitioners across the country. And so we've developed a lot of tools and resources to help folks with this. And in the back, we have some samples that if you want to look at while you're here, feel free to. And they're also all available on our website. So we have a health inequities report, which we put out in conjunction with when Unnatural Causes was being aired, to show the significant role that the physical and social environment is playing in how health is shaped, and to really point out the inequities in terms of life expectancy in all of the counties in the Bay Area. We also put together three different built environment resources, one the Healthy Planning Guide, the other Partners for Public Health, and New Neighborhoods for Healthier Neighborhoods, in conjunction with a Bay Area partner organization, which is now called Change Lab Solutions, and it was their Planning for Healthy Places division. And so these resources are really aimed at helping public health practitioners who are new to working on the built environment learn how to navigate that new terrain. And then lastly, most recently, we put out our toolkit that I'll be discussing more in a second. So our organizational self-assessment toolkit became available at the end of 2010, and it provides public health leaders with tools and guidelines to help identify the skills, the organizational practices, and the infrastructure needed to address health inequity and provide insights into steps that local health departments can take to address these. It's intended to serve as a baseline measure for the capacity, skills, and areas needed for improvement to support health equity-focused activities. It will provide a health department with a set of research-based organizational and individual traits that support its ability to perform effective health equity-focused work. It could provide information that could be used for strategic planning or other planning processes to address health inequities. And lastly, it could be used as an ongoing tool to assess progress towards the identified goals that came out of the assessment. It's not designed to be a community needs assessment per se, or to be used as an evaluation tool for any specific programs. The toolkit includes a compendium of instruments to be used by different sectors within the health department. Each tool provides assessment information at the organizational level and provides opportunities for executives, staff, community agencies, and other local partners to reflect upon the experiences of the local health department addressing health inequities. So we have two web-based surveys, one aimed at the health department staff. It's intended for all of staff to take it. Both of our web-based surveys can be done via paper form, but it makes it much easier for data collection if they're done via the web. And then we have a simplified version, which is aimed for the collaborating partners of the health department to get feedback on what the health department is doing well and areas where the health department could work more strongly to address health inequities in partnership with community groups. We also have a focus group protocol to be used with different cross-sections of the health department staff. It helps you flesh out more of the information that you gathered in the staff survey, as well as just be able to get more qualitative information from a smaller group of staff. We also have an interview guide for the management staff and the leadership staff. And lastly, we provide guidelines on how to conduct an internal document review to look at all your different materials throughout the department and see what it really says about what you're doing and where your priorities are and your areas of strength and areas for improvement. The toolkit also includes guidelines to help health departments determine if, when, and how to carry out the self-assessment process. So it has information for preparing for the self-assessment, including a readiness checklist, some estimates on how much time each part of the assessment process will take, what materials you should budget for, a bibliography on some of the materials, other materials that we looked at, as well as some of the lessons learned from our piloting process. It contains information for what to do while you're carrying out the self-assessment, including an implementation guide for each instrument, the instruments themselves, a roadmap to help you tailor the instruments to meet the needs of your specific health department, the guide for using the online survey, tips from our piloting experience. So actually the little yellow box on the bottom is a tip on how Berkeley Health Department, where we pilot tested the toolkit, how they were able to increase their staff survey response rates. We also include communications, the communications that we use during our piloting process, if you'd like to use those, as well as a glossary of all the key terms that will be used throughout the different assessment tools. And lastly, we provide information on what to do after the self-assessment, including some analysis guidelines and reporting guidelines, and a worksheet on how to summarize your action planning that you're going to be doing based on the assessment results. So that's all I'm going to say. I'm going to actually let our next presenter talk a little bit more about the toolkit. As I said, all of our resources are available at our website, www.barhi.org, and you can take a look at them at the back if you'd like while you're here. Thank you very much.